Follow-up story on the sherry cask, Sugya. I went to the liquor store this week to try to find a kosher bottle of schnapps. And I asked the guy, I said, can you find me a nice, good single malt, not too expensive? So he shows me a bottle. So I said, is it sherry cask? He tells me, nah, don't worry, it's fine, it's not a problem. So of course I don't trust him. So I look at the bottle, it says Mefurish, sherry cask. So I come to the guy, I say, it says sherry cask. He says, ah, even better, it's sherry cask. I tell him, no, sherry cask is bad. He says, what's wrong with sherry cask? I said, it's not kosher now. He says, why is it not kosher? I said, forget it. You got to post to the show online like everyone else. It is what it is. But to his mind, sherry cask was a mile. He didn't understand why I wasn't happy to find that it was sherry cask. To me, it was I had to put the bottle back on the shelf because it's too much problems with drinking it, so we had to turn it down. In any case, tonight, Chair, I would like to continue our discussion that we've had last week about some of the very common issues that happen when drinking any form of a beverage and you're on the go or moving from one room to another room, from another house to another house, how it could present a list of halachic issues. And Beli Neder, we need to get to tonight also, and it's connected, believe it or not, to the bracha one recites when one chews gum. Another very popular issue. A lot of people have this idea that when you chew gum, it doesn't have to, you don't make a bracha. We're going to see tonight that that's actually connected to tonight's share, and that's probably not the case. Just very, very quickly to recap what we spoke about last week. There's a halacha based on a gemara in Psachim that when a person switches location, it now makes that his first bracha is no longer counted, and he has to make a new bracha with Shina. That's called the halacha of Shinui Makom. When a person switches locations, his first bracha is now void, he has to make a new bracha. What constitutes switching places? So it's clear from the Gemara, is that at one house to another house would constitute switching locations and presents a problem. One corner of a room to another corner of the room does definitely not present the problem and it would not be an issue. There is a debate in a Ber Halacha that we discussed at length. What happens if you're going from room to room in one house? So we came out of Halacha L'maisa, and this I became very, it's now in my mind all the time. When a person starts off his drink, or for that matter, a fruit that's not one of the Zayiminim, or anything that's going to be a Shahakal and a Barnafashis, and you don't know where the drink is going to take you. You start the coffee in your kitchen, and next thing you know, you're in your dining room. So the best thing what a person should do is to be Mekayim the Ber Halacha. What a person should do is, before he makes that bracha, he should have in mind that there's a chance he may walk around the house, or he may walk around his office, or he may walk around the shul. So if you're going to find yourself in a Kiddush, when you're eating only liquids, which at a Kiddush might present its own issues of Kiddush Makom Suda for a different time. But in any case, yeah, I don't want to ruin everyone's Kiddush eating ability, so I'm not going to give a share in Kiddush Makom Suda. That's really the follow-up to this year. We'll be talking about Kiddush Makom Suda, but I don't have a heart to ruin it for everyone that you'll stop eating a Kiddushim. Bad enough, I don't eat a Kiddushim anymore. I don't want to ruin it for all of Klai Yisrael, so we won't talk about it. In any case, if you're going to be drinking anything, any beverage that it's a shahakal and a bar and a fashas, in that case you have to have in mind when you're going from one room to another room that you want to do that in order so you don't have to run into any halachic issues.
So what about driving?
We're going to get to driving tonight. Tonight we need to talk about driving, and we need to talk about those who eat on the go. You buy your coffee in 7-Eleven, you're sipping it while you're going. Then we're going to believe that. Also talk tonight about a very famous tshuva from Moshe Feinstein about sucking candies. You're eating it on the go. You're eating a bag of chips on the go. We will believe that. Talk about that.
Somebody biking or walking.
Yeah, all those things we will get to hopefully later to tonight's show. Now, just to recap what we talked about last week, we mentioned again, the two extremes are one house to another house. You go from your house. Again, stories happen all the time. You're sitting in your house drinking a cup of coffee and you realize you're missing something. You need to go to your neighbor across the street, or you need to go outside to check the weather. You come back in, you have to make a new bracha on that drink. That's Shinui Makom, you switched locations. What would happen if you go from your kitchen to your dining room? So we mentioned that's not considered a change. What happens if you have to have a huge living room and you go from one corner to the other corner? That would clearly not require a new brach. The question that I want to pick up this evening with is, what happens if you live in an apartment building? In an apartment building, you have one roof that houses all of these rooms, but they're owned by different people. So how do we look at it? Do we look at that as one big house, and therefore going from one apartment to another apartment would be like going from your kitchen to your living room? Or do we look at an apartment building as a bunch of independent homes? The fact that they share one big roof is just, that's the way it was built. But every apartment is separate. This would also be very relevant in a case where someone's in a hotel. Let's say you have a bunch of rooms in a hotel. So you rent one room and your family rents another room. So if you go from one room to another room in the hotel, yes, you're allowed to walk into the room because it's your friend's room or your family's room, but would that be considered a shinui makom mibayis labayis, from one house to another house, to which a new bracha would be required? Or is it like from room to room? And this seems to be a big debate amongst the contemporary achreidim, and likewise, even more contemporary, those who have written svarim on this matter. So we'll start in number one of the Maram Mekaymis, is a sefer called Vizayis.
Yeah. The basis for the concern.
The Gemara says that, yeah, it's a machloikish Rishayim, but that's at least one of the reasons it has a Hadas. That's one of the reasons. So if we look over here in the sources, in the Sefer V'Zayis HaBracha, a very popular Sefer, written on all of Hilchos Brachos, and he writes the following. Hayre Poiskim Zmanenu, contemporary Poiskim rule, Shahamishana Medira Babalos Achas, Ladira Babalos Acharis, if you go from one ownership to another ownership, Nechshav L'Mishana Mibayis L'Bayis. If you go from one apartment to another apartment that's owned by someone different, that's like going from one house to another house. Av Sheshtei Hadiris Hintachas Kairis Gag Achas. Even though both apartments are under the same roof, it doesn't matter. We don't look at the roof, we look at the ownership. So if you go from one apartment to another apartment, that would be like going from one house to another house, and a new bracha would be required. Which Achrenim held this way? So if you look at the parentheses, he tells us that was the opinion of Reb Pinchas Scheinberg, that was the opinion of Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that was also the opinion of Reb Eliashiv. So a lot of the big Gedolei Achrenim assume that in an apartment building, in a hotel, one room to another room would be a problem and a new bracha would be required. However, he quotes at the end that not everyone agreed to that. Reb Abba Shaul, the Orlot Zion, disagreed. And likewise, Reb Chaim Kanievsky disagrees. He holds that one apartment to another apartment is like room to room. And lechatchila, when you go, you should have das, like we mentioned last week, you should always have das when going from one room to another room. In number two, the Mishnah Halachos of Menashe Klein also agrees with these Achrenim, that going from one apartment to another apartment, or one hotel room to another hotel room, would not be like house to house, and he has a very cute raya. He has a raya from a Lavush. The Lavush writes that if you're going from one house to another house, it works as long as you have in mind at the time of the bracha to go from one house to another house. That's why the Lavush writes. And everyone says it's a Pella. How could the Lavush say that? The example that the Gemara gives of Shinei Makam is when it's one house to another house. Nothing helps to fix that. So how could the Lavush write that when you go from one house to another house, as long as you planned it in the beginning, it fixes it? That can't be. It's against the Gemara. Says Rabbi Menashe Klein, because you don't understand what the Lavush was talking about. The Lavush didn't mean you're going from your independent house to your neighbor's house across the street. He meant you're going from your house to someone else's house, but it's in one big house. How do you have a scenario where you're going from your house to someone else's house in one big house? An apartment or a hotel room. So says Reb Menashe Klein, you see from this Lavush that he also held that one house to another house in one big house under one roof would constitute room to room, and room to room would not require you to make another bruch. That was Reb Menashe Klein's raya.
Why can't we say in an apartment and hotel, all the rooms in there are owned by the same person?
It depends how we're going to view rental, at least. Let's say for Schiris, it's a person rents his apartment, so he's the Bailam, there's no question, it's mine. And that's your apartment. Now maybe, technically you're only a renter, and a renter has rules, which is true. But there is a certain amount of ownership given to a renter. So if we're going to focus on the ownership, which is a question, why should this depend upon ownership? This issue shouldn't be an ownership issue. This is not like a Choshe Mishpat question. This is a question of what's another room. I wouldn't have thought it should depend upon ownership. I would have thought it depends on how do we define separate rooms. I don't think there's anyone here who doesn't look at two apartments as two separate houses, even though they're under one roof. You definitely look at your hotel room and the person next to you is a different hotel room, even though you're both sharing one big roof. So it's a little bit of a tzarechin why the Zachranim hold this way. So they talk about that, whether this is going to be connected to that. Are we going to use those same halachas? We'll talk about it when we talk about your backyard. What's your backyard considered? Is your backyard considered a separate room or is it considered a separate house? What do you mean? I own it all. Yes, you can own it all, but a person can also own two homes. Let's say a fellow owns two homes. He owns the home he lives in, he owns the home across the street. You're going to tell me if he makes a bracha in the house he's living and goes across the street, it's not Shinei Makom? Of course it is. What do you mean? I own both. It's not an issue of ownership. It's an issue of switching of location. So what's one's backyard considered? So with regard to Hilchas, let's say Erevin, we know what your backyard is considered. The fences, this and that. So that's also something that's going to be very relevant in tonight's shir. Just to complete the halachi consensus, is that number three, the Sefer Pischei Halacha, written by Rabbi Forst. Rabbi Forst is of the opinion, he bases it not on this Lavos like Menashe Klein, he bases it on an Aruch HaShulchan, that he strongly believes that the way to define an apartment house would be considered like one room to another room. So if you're living in an apartment and you want to know, can I leave my room, my apartment, to go to my friend's apartment to bring my kids? This happens to me all the time. I live in an apartment all the time. You got to bring your kids, take your kids back, get something, borrow things. So according to these achrenim, it would not present the halachic issue of requiring a new bracha. However, according to some others, like Reb Shlomo Zalman, Reb Eliashiv, and he quotes over Pinchas Scheinberg, it definitely would present the halachic issue. So that's something we sometimes need to be aware of if you're going to hold that it is a problem, you have to be careful to make a bracha achrena before leaving your room. Now, the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch writes that if you are in one house, and there are two separate rooms, and I have, let's say my living room goes into my dining room, but they're separate rooms. They have a Tzuris HaPesach maybe, but it's a separate room. We all agree your living room is separate than the dining room. But at the time when I made my bracha in my living room, I planned on going into my dining room. That was my chain of events. Therefore, that would not constitute a problem. The Rama also says another chap. What happens if I can see it? So when I go to the new location, I can still see my old location. So that's also as if I never changed locations, and it does not present the problem of Shinei Mok. Okay? What happens if I go to a different house, but I can still see my first house? For example, you have two homes across the street from each other, in a very city-like experience where they're mamish back-to-back. Some houses, you look outside your front window, you see the other person's back window, you can see through the house. So would that also help me to bypass the problem of Shinei Mok? So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah number 4, the Mishnah Berurah writes...
Yeah. In one room, you leave that there.
Yeah.
But you go to it.
Doesn't matter. We'll see even further. The Chayyadim writes, Mr. Burbing's Allah, even if you take the food with you. I take the food with me. I go to the new location, I'm holding on to the cup of coffee.
Right.
Still a problem.
No, so I'm saying, so you have to go across the street. So I'm saying, is there a hefsek? You know, there's the fact, it's not only going to the house, it's
not necessarily about how much time distance elapses. It's more about the fact that I'm in a new location. But if I can still see my original location, so I'm still somewhat connected to my first location. The question is, does that really work? Now, you'll ask me, why is this important for us to discuss this evening? It's extremely important if you believe that your backyard or your back porch or your front porch is considered a separate house. This becomes a very relevant issue. It also becomes very relevant for sukkahs. What's your sukkah considered? Let's say, for example, you want to leave your sukkah to come into the house. Would you have to make a new bracha when you come back into the sukkah? So these are some of the issues that are very important for us to clarify. So if we look at the Mishnah Berurah number 4, the Mishnah Berurah is very uncertain about it. The Mishnah Berurah says, in the second line, he says, V'davka mecheder lecheder ba'isei bayis. The only time looking helps if it's one room to another room in that house. Avam mebayis lebayis, if you want to go from one house to another house. Av shesmuchan zelza, they're right near each other. Mistapik achreinim. The achreinim are unsure. The efshur dein lahakal ayidei rias makim. Maybe you can't be lenient because you can see the first place. Mr. Brewer sounds very not convinced, in my opinion, that this works. Where is he coming from? So this is based on a halacha number 5, and actually in Hilchas Kiddush. If you look at number 5, the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch in Chel Gimel, Mr. Brewer, or Achayim, Hilchas Kiddush, the Mechaber writes the following. Ein Kiddush el b'makim suda. A person has to make Kiddush in the place where he plans on eating his meal. Ubebayis echon nepino lepino. Let's say he has a big house, and he makes Kiddush in one corner, and they set up, this happens all the time if you had a simcha. So sometimes where they have you have the meal is not the same place where you have Kiddush. You make Kiddush in one corner, and in the other corner of the big dining room, they're going to have the meal. So the Mechaber says, that's not a problem, that's all one big room. Let's say you switch locations, you make Kiddush in this corner because you thought that's the cooler side, and then all of a sudden you realize it's very hot, you want to switch everyone to the other side. That's not a problem. I feel who tracklin God, even it's a massive room, ain't tzarich lachzer lekaddish. Zokter Rama umibayis lesukkah. What about from your house to the sukkah? Let's say you make Kiddush in your house, it's not raining, then you decide, hey, let's finish the meal in the sukkah, or vice versa. Would that be a problem of Kiddush makam suda? The Rama says no. Says Ramon Shulchan Aruch, your sukkah is like another part of your house. Which means, for our purposes, if I make a bracha in my house, I drink a cup of coffee in my kitchen, and then I decide to stroll out to the sukkah to see how the sukkah looks. Forget sukkahs. I want to see how my sukkah looks. I built it 3 days before sukkahs. I want to make sure my decorations are still holding up. I would not have to make a new bracha when I come back into the kitchen.
Is this the meaning of Pesach Hadash?
According to some Rishayim.
So if I'm drinking from wherever I am in my house, I continually drink to wherever I go, 10 blocks away.
We're going to talk about it.
I wouldn't have to because I'm in...
Possibly, right? That's a chiddush that Rav Moshe has based on the Chayadim, which we'll hopefully get to later tonight. That if there's no break in the eating, then it's not a problem. That's a chiddush of Rav Moshe.
So assuming you put your sukkah on your front driveway.
Ah, okay, good. That's what we need to get to. This Ramah is very vague. He doesn't say where your sukkah is.
Right.
He just says your sukkah is not a problem.
You're telling me that if the sukkah is not
very good.
Driveway,
that's right. So this Ramah we're going to see. So the way the Magen Avraham learns this Ramah, and the way the Mishnah Berurah learns it, it depends where you put your sukkah. It means we're talking about a case where a person put a sukkah almost attached to his house.
Like on the deck,
almost where there's no space. The Poskim didn't say there can't even be space. You have to be like using the walls of your house as one of the walls of the sukkah. But if you put your sukkah 5 feet off your house, then this halacha doesn't apply.
But can't the sukkah be different because it's
sukkahs, you know you're going to be eating the
possibly. Sukkahs. That's another tzad achrenim want to make. And there are those who want to make that argument for your backyard also. Rabbi Yashiv Pinchas Sharmig is quoted as saying that let's say you have a backyard. Well, that's where you have barbecues and that's where everyone hangs out. So he wants to make the argument that backyard is like an extension of the house. Even though it's clearly a separate room. It's outdoors, right? But since it's so much part of the experience, that's where everyone goes. Everyone goes outside and that's like another room for us. So since it's like another room, it's viewed in the halacha like another room. Rabbi Yashiv disagreed. Rabbi Yashiv said it's not another room. It's a separate house. Yes, you own it, but the fact that it's your backyard doesn't change. It's a separate house, and you would not be able to go from your kitchen to your backyard without making a new brach.
A deck that's connected.
So a deck that's connected is going to be the question we're going to see. What's the status of porches and decks? All these things we're going to see in a few minutes. And we're going to see, it's going to be very important how to figure out, does Riyas Makam help? Because again, if you hold that, if I see house one, it's okay, so then it's a very big help for your porches. I'm sitting in my kitchen, I go out to my deck to check out the weather, but I'm standing on my deck, I can see right where I started. It's one of those glasses that you can see through. So it won't present a problem. But the way the Mr. Brewer sounded like, that won't help. If your deck would be considered a separate house, just seeing it would not be good enough
and
you'd have to make a new brach. No, it's not, because this is what halacha requires. This is what halacha requires. A person could technically drink one cup of coffee and have to make three brachas on it. And it's not wrong. It's the right thing. He might not be aware of it, but it might be lahalacha. People should be making many more brachas than they are just because they're not familiar with these halachas of Shinei Makom. Again, we're going to try to limit the amount of brachas as we learn the sugya, but this is a problem. People don't realize they're not making enough brachas. People are under bracha making as opposed to the other way. They don't realize. Yeah, it's easy. You just go around strolling the house. You don't have a problem. It is, if it's a suffix. We don't yet have any sveikas. We're going to see that. We're going to see many achrenim play that card, but we're going to see that it might not apply always. It might not just be so much a suffix, but it might be that this is what halacha dictates. We're going to get to that in a few minutes. But this is what I wanted from this mechaber. Mechaber writes again in Hilchos Kiddush, V'yesh oimim shekol sheroyim mekoymei. As long as I can see the first location, I feel me bias lechatz, even if I'm going from my house to a courtyard, einot tzarech lachz lekadosh. I don't have to make a new kiddush. What does this mean? Let's say, for example, you made Kiddush in the backyard. Then you decided you're supposed to have the lunch outside, but the weather turned on you and you didn't get a tent. And you just you were hoping the weather would be nice, and yet everyone has to run back into the house. Do you have to make another Kiddush when you come into the house? So the Machaber says, yay, shayim, there's an opinion out there that says you don't. Why? Because since once you go inside, you can still see the outside, right? You come back into the shul, and you open the window, and you can see the original location. So Riyas Makom is good enough. So the Mishnah Berurah says, based on this Machaber, that with regard to Kiddush, this is sufficient. So with regard to Kiddush, as long as I can see another house, that's good. Let's say, for example, I make Kiddush in my house. And all of a sudden now my neighbor invites me to come to his house. Do I have to make another Kiddush in his house? So it depends. If I could see his house from my house, according to this Yeshayim, I would not. The problem is the Mishnah Berurah doesn't really buy into it. The Mishnah Berurah says over here, number 6, this is all in Hilchos Kiddush. Says the Mishnah Berurah, don't rely upon this opinion. The Mr. Bruce says, this is only b'shas atchak, that when you switch locations, there's no more wine, and you can't make Kiddush in your new location, then you can rely on the Kiddush you made in the first location. But l'chatchila, says the Mr. Bruce, you should not rely upon this opinion. You should not rely on the fact that I can see the new location. So let's take this back to Hilchos Shinei Makom. If the Mr. Bruce says, I don't really accept this, a yeshayimim. But it's the same idea. If the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch is of the opinion that seeing the original place is not sufficient for Hilchos Kiddush, says Mr. Brewer, so why should it be sufficient for Hilchos Shinei Makom? It's the same rules. So if you're telling me that one house to another house, seeing it does not connect me, so same thing with Hilchos Brachas. So if I can see the first location, that would not be good enough. And that's really the way the Mr. Brewer, I believe, holds. Mr. Brewer says, I'll bring you a raya. This Yeshayim Rim is brought down on Shulchan Aruch. It's not repeated by the Ramah. Because I don't think the Ramah really believes in it, says the Sharat Tzion. Therefore, this should not be relied upon halacha l'maisa. Even more so, if you look later on, the Mishnah Berurah, I wrote it over here, number 8, but we're short on time as always. The Mishnah Berurah seems to say, mefurish, he does not believe in it. Bias l'bias, one house to another house, seeing the original place would not be good enough. So, halacha l'maisa, that is not a heter. So why is this of any discussion to us? Because what is the status of our backyards? If we hold our backyard or our patios are considered another house, So if I'm sitting in my kitchen drinking a cup of coffee on a nice summer morning, and I open up the doors to go on the patio to see and to enjoy my big backyard, and I go on the patio, or I go into the grass, I go into the backyard, and then I come back into the kitchen, I have to make a new bracha rishayna. You'll tell me, but I had in mind to go out onto the patio. It doesn't matter. It's one house to another house. But I can still see from the patio, I can see the kitchen and vice versa. According to the Mishnah Berurah, that is not good enough. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, if you're going to be taking your coffee to the outside, what you really should do is first make a bar and a fashas, then go outside, and then come back and make a new bracha. This is all assuming that your backyard is considered another house. Is that such a given that your backyard is considered another house? So this was a debate amongst the contemporary Paiskim. Is your backyard considered another house? So many of the Achrayim held it depends how your deck is situated. If your deck has a roof, then it's considered an extension of the house, and it's like one room to another room. But if your porch has no deck to it, so the opinion of many Paiskim is if it has no roof to it, it's considered a separate house. It's like going from one house to another house. What happens if you have one of those fake roofs that you put up there? Not exactly very sturdy. It's not an extension of the house, but you put up one of these very flimsy types of roofs that you can roll off, roll down to block the sun. So I saw Rabbi Forst in his Sefer, Peschei Halacha, he's mesupik. Does that count? The assumption would be that doesn't count, because the idea of a roof is because that's what makes it part of the house. If it has its own, fake roof, that's basically like having an outhouse with a roof over it. It shouldn't be good enough. But according to most Achrayim, if you have a roof that is enclosed with the roof, either from the house itself or from its own sturdy real roof, that would be considered like one room to another room. It does not present a problem. But if you don't have that, you have an open roof, a patio in a backyard, according to the opinion of many contemporary Achrayim, that would be considered like another house. If so, if I want to go from my kitchen to my backyard, what do I do? So the answer is you should make a bracha Achrayim before you leave. However, in the opinion of many of the contemporary authors, such as Rabbi Forst, Rabbi Pinchas Badner, in his Sefer Vezeis HaBracha, they all paskin, if bidi eved, you left your house, you left your kitchen, and you went onto your deck, you went into the backyard, and you can still see the original place from your backyard, a new bracha should not be recited. It's a tzarachim by me, because it doesn't seem to say like in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah seems to be very clear that bayis labayis does not help to be able to see the first place. The only reason why they make it is because they say maybe your backyard is not really another house. Maybe your bayis is like your living room. So halach lemaisa, what's nageya to us is that if a person is going to be leaving his backyard, his kitchen, to go to his porch or his backyard, b'di'eved, if he can still see into his kitchen through his window or through a door, a new bracha does not have to be recited. What about sukkahs? What's the status of sukkah to another sukkah? So the contemporary price came all the same idea. If your sukkah is up against your house, it's almost attached to your house, then that's like going from one room to another room. But if your sukkah is put further back from your house, any amount of space, then going from your sukkah to your house would be like going from one house to another house, and a new bracha would be required. So keep this in mind. Sukkah is time, this halacha.
But if your deck is raised off the ground and it's bolted into the house, then it's...
So then you can make the argument that it would be like the sukkah. Yeah, you can make such an argument. That should be similar to the sukkah, right? 100%.
Yeah, it doesn't have a roof.
But it doesn't have a roof, but it's still an extension of the house.
So a fifth floor apartment that has a balcony with the same
right, so
floor.
they quote B'Shem Yerushalayim Azama that he held if it has a balcony that you don't really use for going outside the house, that's an extension of the house, even though it doesn't have a roof. Because that's clearly...
It's not necessarily a roof.
Right, it's not a roof, or it's something that's viewed as an extension of the house as opposed to being, let's say, a second part of the house. I just wanted to... This is really why I wanted to wrap up from last week, to clarify many people have porches and front porches and back porches, so this really could present a halachic issue. Again, even a barbecue. If you're having a barbecue, and for some reason there's no mezainis at the barbecue, all the barbecue is a shahakal, and you're sitting in your backyard grilling, and everyone's sitting around eating, yeah, it's not much of a barbecue. At least there's steaks. Okay, I shouldn't say, you still have steaks. You still have steaks. It's a healthy barbecue for those that are watching their weight, so there's no carbs, so they're eating steaks and hot dogs. You're getting the veggie burgers. Okay, you're getting all the healthy stuff. No French fries for sure. But there's no mezainis. There's no mezainis at the meal. So if there's no mezainis, you're sitting there, everyone's sitting together at the picnic table in your backyard, and then someone decides to get up and go into the kitchen, so that could potentially present a problem. Now, if there's other people left at the table, that won't be a problem, as we discussed, and we'll discuss more tonight.
We mentioned yeah. About like, women.
So again, so you...
Like if you're the host...
So you can make the argument that an outside barbecue is automatic das that you want to go back in, but that doesn't help if it's a different house. bias labias, that doesn't help. So if you hold your backyard is another house, the das will not help. So it gets a little tricky. But I want to, we're talking about, it's only relevant if the food is a shahakol or a fruit or vegetable that's not of the Zayin Minim. If it's anything that you either wash and make a hamaitzi and benchon or an alamichia, then this halach is not relevant. This never going to be a problem of shini makam. So it's not really right. It's not that relevant. It's not really that relevant. We're talking about cases where you're drinking on the go. You're having a cup of coffee and you want to go to the sukkah to have your cup of coffee because. Even if you go back.
Because you have to.
That's right. That's the svar over here.
But if you go into a neighbor's house, you continue the meal over there. What happens?
So that's the halacha. So if you're leaving your place and you plan to continue there, so that if it's something like pas, you're okay.
Even though you had pas in your
That's
house,
right. That's right. That's
you
the
halacha. You
don't have to go back. You can eat the
but
second.
In a normal case, you do have to go back.
That's correct.
In this case, you
that's right. Because you're continuing and finishing the meal there. That's what a lot of people do by the Rebbe's. Friday night, they finish. They don't. We spoke about this with a Zeman issue. A lot of what the Hasidim do is they wash in their house Friday night, but they don't bench in their house because they plan on going to the Tish by the Rebbe and finish and eating and bench by the Rebbe. So we discussed this in a previous year that presents a Zeman issue. Since they don't bench Zeman, so they leave the women hanging, so there's no Zeman. The women need to have Zeman. So we spoke, Shmuel Vosner has a limud chus on it. But with regard to benching, since they have das to finish eating there and they'll eat there, that will allow them to go there to finish their meal over there. What I want to get to tonight is a very, very common shaila of what happens if someone's really eating on the go. You make a cup of coffee in your house and the coffee is in your hand. You make it, you're all ready to go, and you're leaving and you're walking around with the cup of coffee in your hand. Would that still be a problem of shinei makom? The answer is absolutely yes. If you look at number 12, the Mishnah Berurah quotes a very important chayadim. The chayadim writes, the kasev chayadim, this is the Mishnah Berurah quoting him, ta'afilu hima'oiches ha'pri biyodai, even if you're holding the fruit in your hand the entire time, v'hoilich v'oichel, and you're eating on the go, yesh mishum shinei makom, this would still be a problem of switching locations. Im yotzem im kaima harishin, if you left the first place, shekava atzmei le'echol lechader acher, if you were, let's say, again, you take the apple, and you start chewing it in the kitchen, and then you decide, I need to go outside and check the mail, but I'm holding the apple. Says the Chayadam, that would still be a problem, and that would be an issue of Shinei Makom. So again, the cup of coffee you're holding in the hand, the drink you're holding in your hand, and you're walking all around town, you're going inside, outside, you're going from the street to your house, all over the place, that would be a problem of Shinei Makom. So someone presented the following shout out to Rav Moshe Feinstein. In Igris Moshe, in Maramaka number 13, in Igris Moshe, Arachayim Chelik Beisim Nun Zayin, someone asked Rav Moshe the following shout out. What do we do if someone's eating a sucking candy, or chewing on a piece of gum? And he's on the go, he's on the move. He's going from his house, outside his house, to another house. He's moving. You're going to tell me now that every single time he goes to a new house, he has to make a new bracha? What does such a person do? Person is he pops a candy in his mouth right before he leaves his house. Then he goes from his house, he drives, he goes into his car. From his car, he goes into his office. From his office, he goes back outside. So you're going to tell me every single time he has to make a new bracha, every new location? That was the question presented to Rav Moshe Feinstein. So the initial response of Rav Moshe is, yeah, you do. That's what the Chayyadim said. Chayyadim said that even if you're holding it in your hand, it doesn't matter. So Rav Moshe said, what's the difference between holding it in your hand, holding it in your mouth? Well, what's the difference? What should be the difference? So let's look together at this tshuva from Rav Moshe. If we look at number 13, Rav Moshe was asked the following. It's interesting over here for us to quote the question because we're going to see that Achreinim brought a major proof from this tshuva of Rav Moshe. They asked Rav Moshe the following shayla. If someone always has in his mouth something sweet, shekairin candy, we today call candy, the chewing gum, and gum. Umevarchim bebeisam, they make the bracha in their house. V'holchim laskeim, then they go wherever they need to go. B'mekayimas acherim. V'aychlim bederech, they're eating it on the road. V'gam b'mekayimas acherim, they're switching locations. Shushine makim, that's real shine makim. Shadin shetzarech lachzavarch, they should have to make four brachas on the sake candy. So the Moshe initially starts off with, yeah, that should be the halacha. No, you wouldn't on the gum. Not the sucking candy. It might depend on how long it takes you to eat it. So Rav Moshe Feinstein comes up with a big chiddush, which is very controversial. Rav Moshe Tain is like this: that the chayadom that says when you're holding it in your hand, you still have a problem of shinei makom. That's talking about when you're holding it but not continuously eating from it. Says Rav Moshe, you take a bite from the apple, then you take a break, then you take another bite, and you take a break. Says Rav Moshe, even the chayadom would agree that if I'm continuously eating the thing on the go, that would not require a new bracha based on the principle of shinei makom. That's how Rav Moshe learns this chayadim. Rav Moshe says that the chayadim is talking about a case where you're taking breaks. When a person eats a fruit, he's not constantly eating, he takes breaks. How much time do you have, says Rav Moshe? Toich kedei dibur, which is not very long. Says Rav Moshe, you have to be constantly eating from it that never elapses more than Teich Kedidiba between the bites. Says Rav Moshe, a sucking candy, there's never a break. You're always eating it. So writes Rav Moshe Feinstein that if you're a sucking candy, chewing gum will not present an issue of Shinei Mokim and you'd be allowed to, and you don't have to worry about making a new brach. Other Achrayim say, 1 second, what happens if you're eating a bag of chips? You have a whole bag of chips and you're constantly eating from the bags of chips. So they're the same thing. If a person is constantly eating from the bag and not more than a few seconds elapsed between one chip and the next chip, he would also not have an issue of Shinei Mokim and he can eat, walk around wherever he wants and not worry about an issue of Shinei Mokim. This was Rav Moshe Feinstein's understanding of the Chai Adam. They bring down over here b'shem the Chazanish that the Chazanish disagreed. They say over the story that Reb Chaim Kanevsky, when he was a small child, he put a sucking candy in his mouth and was on his way to leave. And they stopped him. Chazanish stopped him. He told him, where are you going? You're going to run into a problem of Shinei Mokim. So the Chazanish's opinion was that he disagreed with this whole shtickl Torah from Rav Moshe. He held that the Chayodim is the way we read the Chayodim. The same way if you hold it in your hand, it's a problem. If you hold it in your mouth, it's a problem. So the Chazanish held that sucking candies would present a major halachic issue. I found, not only does the Chazanish hold, I found even Rabbi Yitzhak Abadi, in his Shas and Tshuva Sefer, he also thinks for Dover Pashit, sucking candies or gum would present this problem. In all the contemporary svarim that we have today in Hilchos Brachos, no one seems to be chayshish for this, and they all hold that we keep a semach on Rav Moshe. So according to Rav Moshe, a sucking candy or gum or anything that you're continuously eating from would not present the halachic problem of Shinei Mokim, and you can go wherever you want and not have to worry about it. So again, if a person is very careful to sip his coffee without taking too many breaks, he's always drinking the cup, so then he would never run into an issue of Shinei Mokim, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein.
Could you say that in today's times,
yeah,
totally different situation than probably was envisioned.
When it, travel-wise.
Travel-wise, and also you could be, you know, the standard thing was kavius.
Yeah.
Right? And so, then and you go, and then if you have exception to that, so they say, oh, that's real shinoi, that's real.
Right, so we mentioned such a possibility. Shmuel Vazna believes that's really the case. He thinks it used to be when you sat down to meal, you didn't get up from the meal. That was it, you stayed. But today, everyone's on the go, we're moving, we're on the go. So he used that a little bit for kulas. He wasn't willing to take a throw away the whole halacha, but he was willing to use it as a little bit of a makam to be makam.
Nobody knows that if I'm an airplane, it's a Shinei Mokim.
Right, that's a big discussion. A guy's in his car, he's in a train or plane. You're going to tell me now he has to go back to the original place to bench? No one says that. They all say that's good enough.
I didn't hear this far of anybody saying if I'm chewing gum,
then it's... Right, so you're going to tell me that there's no way it can be Hesek Hadass, I'm actively still doing it. That's the Be'alacha. He says, no one's Zari on this. It can't be. We've got to be missing something. That's what the Be'alacha writes. Yeah, that's what halacha would have required.
Nice.
It's scary. Yeah. That's what the Bar Halacha writes. He says you got to come up with a heter.
I would say it's a tov
sofer. Is it with coffee also?
So with coffee, if your taka is sipping it so often, no more than toich kedei dibur.
I'm on a Long Island Railroad again on a windmill. And I wait till the Yulet to have my next sip. That's more than
toich. No, but you don't get off the train.
I don't get off the train.
So that's fine. You're not moving. That's not considered moving. If you get off the train and then get out to the other stop, then you'd run into a problem. That's right. That would be a Shinei Mokim. So we're going to... That's right. We're going to get to the train in a second. But before we get to that, I just on a side note, I couldn't let the chance pass up without focusing on this. Based on this Rav Moshe, Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt writes a Chiddush La'aloch. Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt, and Rabbi Ephraim says, you see from this tshuva for Rav Moshe that you have to make a bracha rishayin on chewing gum. Says Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt, I'll bring you a riot. We'll see in a second. Someone asked Rav Moshe Feinstein a shayla about chewing gum in a bracha rishayna and Shinei Mokim. Says Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, Rav Moshe should have wrote back in the tshuva the question never gets off the ground. You don't make a bracha rishayna and chewing gum. Says Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, and he has the right to say it because he was a Talmud Muvak of Rav Moshe. You see from this tshuva from Rav Moshe that chewing gum requires a bracha rishayna. Again, I'm not here to argue on that notion. I don't know how do you have the right to bring things like that from the tshuva. Maybe Rav Moshe was answering it. He was talking about the case where he had the sucking candy. The shayla asked two cases. He asked chewing gum, or he asked sucking candy. So Rav Moshe was focusing on the sucking candy, not the chewing gum.
What
it's hard to...
Chewing gum and something else when you make the shayla?
Possibly, right? It's very hard to bring rayas from shaylas like that. I don't know.
A lot of people rely on the fact that the reason you make a bracha on the gum is that the initial... Chew.
Yeah, very good. We're going
to
talk.
After three or four chews.
So we're going to talk about that. That's a fair case one can make. Yeah, it's hard to know when Rav Moshe was talking about the gum. What point were you holding
you
the gum?
For sure.
So Rav Ephraim Greenblatt paskens halacha l'maisa and Rivos Ephraim in two places. He paskens halacha l'maisa, gum, chewing gum requires a bracha rishayna, and likewise, it can't be. You can't have it on a fast day. If you hold it's considered eating, you can't have it on a fast day. So you'll tell me, who says otherwise? First of all, if you stop people on the street who chew gum, A lot of people think you don't have to make a bracha b'shayin and chewing gum. I don't swallow it. What would the svara be? So one of the creative svaras they come up with is the lomnus of ikar and tuf. Ikar and tuf, we have a principle in halachas brachas that when you have two things, one is the main thing and one is the side thing. So the bracha on the main thing patters the bracha on the side thing. So they make the following argument. In gum, there's an ikar and tuf. What's the ikar? The gum part. The part that you don't eat. What's the tuffle? The sweet part. The sugary part. So they make the following argument. The tuffle never requires a bracha rishayna. You never make a bracha on a tuffle. So since you don't make a bracha on a tuffle, you don't make a bracha on a tuffle either. Now the reason why there's a flaw to this lumdis is because why don't you make a bracha on a tuffle? Because the bracha on the ikr went for the tuffle. But if there is no bracha on the ikr, of course the tuffle needs a bracha. That's the flaw with this argument. For what?
To make a bracha rishayna,
you have to have hana. So there's no question over here that there's some form of hana that you get when you chew a piece of gum that has a sugar taste to it. So you can make the argument that that's the beginning at least. After you, for example, if you chew chewed gum, not that I endorse it, but if you chew it, this is very nagia. A lot of people suggest chewing gum sometimes for medical reasons, even though I can't imagine how it's going to help. It can hurt your jaw, but we can ask our dentist what they think about chewing gum for medical reasons. Let's say you chew gum that has no taste. You've been chewing it for the last hour. And then you take the gum out of your mouth. So when you would put it back in, I can hear a very strong argument that a new bracha would not be required. There's nothing there. It's like chewing rubber. A new bracha would not be required. Very quickly,
so if you chew straw or grass,
a bracha is not required. Now, there's an interesting halacha in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber writes, if you take a piece of wood and you dunk it in something sweet, cinnamon or something sugary, and you sit and chew on this piece of wood, and all the sugar comes into your mouth, you make a bracha. So the contemporary Acharonim say that's what gum is. It's a substance that you don't eat, swallow, but it's full of sugary sweet taste, and you're chewing on it. You're getting out the sugar sweet taste, so of course you have to make a bracha. So the logic of why one has to make a bracha is based on this mechaber in Shulchan Aruch. Now there are two tshuva svarim written by Svarad Shapayskim who disagree, and they believe a bracha rishayin is not required on chewing gum because they say I'm not swallowing anything, I'm not eating anything. Which again, the mechaber in Shulchan Aruch says you don't need to eat anything. You're chewing on a piece of wood. You're not swallowing anything. Halacha lemaisa. Almost in all the svarim of Hilchas Brachas, they all write to say to make a bracha. They even quote that Avad Yosef says not to make a bracha. That's not true. Yaakut Yosef, his son, quotes, he says he asked his father about it. His father said, maybe gum that has no flavor, you wouldn't have to make a bracha on. But flavored gum that tastes good, without a doubt, a bracha v'shena is required. So if a person is having what they call sugar-free gum, and you'll tell me about sugar-free gum, there's still something tasty. It doesn't taste like rubber. No one would chew on rubber for an hour. It has to have some taste to it. So even though it might not be sweet as sugar-full gum, but again, bracha rishayin is required when eating gum, and a lot of the rayas, it brings from this tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein. But just to be fair, there is a tshuva from a sefer called Yitzchak Yiranin. He has a skama from Avad Yosef, and Avad Yosef spends a couple of pages in the introduction writing, I don't agree with everything in the sefer. He doesn't use this as one of his examples, I'm not sure why. And this sefer, Yitzchak Yiranin, he thinks without a doubt, a bracha rishayin is not required on chewing gum. Likewise, it's found in the Sefer Yaskalavdi, who was one of the Poiske Eretz Yisrael in the early 1900s. He also thinks a bracha rishayin is not required, but this is not the widely accepted opinion amongst Ashkenazim, not amongst Svaydim. We all hold a bracha rishayin is required when chewing gum. A barin fashis is not required, but a bracha rishayin is definitely required. This then goes into the shayla about kosher gum, not kosher gum, for a different night's discussion. But a bracha rishayin definitely needs to be made on gum. And you'll be shocked if you speak to people that eat gum. I don't mean to sound gender-based over here, but a lot of the women that I've spoken to about chewing gum, they all tell me, what do you mean? You don't swallow. You don't need to make a bracha. That's because they don't know about the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch. They said you can chew on wood. If it's dunked in sugar, you also have to make a bracha. So I think it's important to spread the word that according to most of the Achrayim, we pass in a bracha with Shein is required even for chewing gum. What happens if you're on the go? So all those travelers that are always traveling, how do you deal with Shini Makam? Again, I'm on the go. I'm not in one place. What's that halacha considered? So the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch passes, if you're on the go, you're what he calls a holchei drachim, you're a traveler. A traveler is not bound by the rules of Shinei Makom because he's not in one place. What's the whole idea of Shinei Makom? I started in one place and then I switched locations. I was never in one place. I was always on the go. So if you're always on the go, you never take on a place. If you never take on a place, you don't run into issues of Shinei Makom. What's an example of a holchei drachim? A person's walking the streets. He doesn't go into any homes. He's taking a walk. You're taking a long walk through the neighborhood, and you take a bottle of water with you, and you make the bracha rishayin on the bottle of water when you step onto the sidewalk, and you're drinking sips throughout the neighborhood. So every step I'm changing location, but that's okay, because you're a traveler. That's the definition of a traveler. Once you would come back home, and then you're back in your house, and now you would like to have more water, then a bracha rishayin should be required, because now you're no longer traveling, you're now at a destination. Rav Moshe Feinstein has another chiddush, which is not so controversial, which it seems to most people agree with. What happens if, let's say, you make a cup of coffee in your house, and you have 2 minutes before you have to leave? So instead of waiting, you start sipping the coffee now. But you don't plan on staying. You plan on being on the go. I have this shaila in my house every morning. My daughter likes to take breakfast on the go. So I make her a bag of cereal, so it's a mezainis, but let's say you would have a cereal that's a shahako. So the idea is to take it on the go, but we don't always leave as fast as we should. So she's kind of starting breakfast in the house and then leaving. Would that be considered a traveler, or that's considered switching locations? So Moshe Feinstein Paskins, if you're drinking it on the go, even though you're still in your original location, but you don't plan on staying in that location, that would not be considered chidei makom. So classic example, you go into 7-Eleven to buy a coffee, and you on your way out of the store, but you take a little sip before you leave the store. So you're going to tell me, oh, shinei makom. I made a switch from 7-Eleven to the street, so I have to make a new bracha. So according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, that's not the case, because you never were kavua in 7-Eleven. Rav Moshe Feinstein takes it even stronger. Let's say, for example, you're in your house, and you're on the way out. But you have a minute or two, so you sit down at your desk, and you have your coffee, and you start doing some work. But you don't plan on staying, you plan on going. Then, says Rav Moshe, that's also considered on the go, and a new bracha would not be required. But let's say you plan on staying, and 15 minutes into breakfast, you got to run and do a carpool, you got to go somewhere. Then a new bracha would be required. So it depends on what the scenario is. And that's Rav Moshe's chiddush, that as long as you plan on going, even though you stay for a few minutes, you're still considered a traveler, and a new bracha is not required. Yeah, so I have a lot of trouble with this car halacha. If you look in the second page of the Ma'amar Kemis, I quoted from the Sefer V'Zeis HaBracha, where he's quoting a psak from Avoliashim. I'm just going to read the words and leave it up to everyone to figure out what I think he means. He says, let's say you're eating in the car. Very common. You grab the coffee. So again, a couple scenarios can happen, right? You start with the coffee in your house, and you get halfway down the cup of coffee, and then you realize you're late for an appointment, so you jump into the car. That's shinei makom. There's nothing to talk about. Or you can have a Moshe scenario where I start the coffee in my house and, you know, I'm waiting for the car to heat up. So while I'm waiting for my car to heat up, I figure, you know what, might as well start the coffee. So that's not shinei makom. But what happens if I get into my car and I don't start my coffee until I get into the car? And then I drive all around town. So he writes over here, Alpha Pishiyotsumasoi, even though you leave your car, umam shikh lecho bechutz, and then you're continuing the drink outside. Eating in the car is like traveling. So if let's say I buy a coffee, and I don't drink it until I get into the car, and then I park my car, and I walk, and I go somewhere, a new bracha is not required. I find it very hard to believe, if I start my coffee in my car, and then I go into my house, that I shouldn't have to make a new bracha on the coffee in my house. I'm now in a new location. I'm a new place now. Now I'm in my house. But that's what he seems to be saying. He seems to be saying that in such a scenario, a new bracha wouldn't be required. Again,
once you establish yourself as healthy, so even though you come back in your house, it's still part of your travel.
Yeah, but I found that at some point your travel's going to end. You're not a traveler forever. You're a traveler until you get to destination.
Why would you think a makanis is a
halchid rochem?
No, yeah. It's a house.
So that's another argument you can make. Maybe the car doesn't have any status. So the best thing would be if you can see your car from your office, so then you could be saying mecham bayis labayis, you'll be okay.
Why is it different than halchid rochem with the water running around town?
Yeah, but here eventually
you're going to end walking also.
Yeah, but then you're going to come into your house and have water in your house. I think you have to make a bracha. I can't imagine you wouldn't have to. Here he's saying, yeah, I understand. If let's say you get into your car, park your car and walk around Central Avenue, so yeah, then I think he's right. But if you're going to get out of your car and walk into your office still holding that cup of coffee and tell me now I'm in my office, I don't have to make a bracha, that I find hard to believe. So the best thing would be if you can get to your office, steer at your car, look into your window so you can still see the first place, then you can be saying mecham the Mr. Brew.
You don't make a bracha, do you?
When?
About to walk into your office.
Yeah, no, we pass that you don't have to make it. The one bracha achrein, svardim would, but we pass like that. Just the one time this halacha is not an issue is if there's still some people at the meal. For example, if the family goes out to the ice cream store and everyone gets ice cream, and you decide, this happens to me all the time, my wife always decides to go shopping while we're all eating ice cream, so I get stuck babysitting, right? But someone gets up from the table and walks out, goes to one of the stores. So now when that person comes back, do they have to make a new bracha on the ice cream? They switch locations. The answer is no. Because since there were still people left at the ice cream meal or at the drinks meal, that's considered that we never left the location and therefore they don't have to make a new bracha. So as long as there's still someone left at the table of whatever you're eating, which is a liquid, a new bracha is not required. Pinchas Sharmig held, even if it's ketanim, even if you leave your 6-year-old kid at the table and then you come back, that's good enough. But so if you're going to be in a group setting, everyone's sitting around drinking, then you leave. Again, let's say, for example, people go out for drinks, and they're all sitting together at some form of a table, and they're all drinking. And you go up outside to make a phone call. So technically, you left the place to go to another house. You went outside to go walk around. But since everyone's still at the table, and they haven't yet made a bar nefashis, It has to be they haven't yet made a Bar Nefashos. You're still considered experiencing this meal, even though it's not a meal, it's drinks. And therefore, a new bracha would not be required. So in order for a new bracha to be required over a liquid, it has to be there's still no one left at the original eating experience. So halacha l'maisa, the best option always is, as the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, before leaving a major location, make a Bar Nefashos, stop the eating and make a new bracha when you get to the new destination.